QUE. More of a Sydney weekend with Tim Webster.
Yeah, last hour of the program. Sun is setting. In fact, by the look of it, well and truly set, I suppose. June getting shorter and shorter. When's the shortest? Shortest day's about the 22nd or 23rd, isn't it? So it's a way away yet. Now, the last few weeks, we've brought you some of the extraordinary medical professionals and the work they do at our magnificent San Hospital at Warunga. And today, you know, you probably don't know. In fact, I'm sure you don't. Some of the extraordinary humanitarian work that is done by doctors at the San, in fact, doctors in general, but doctors at the San, and I didn't know about this one. And Michael Weir is the manager of Open Heart International and operating out of the San, and very happy to say he's with me today. G'day.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Now, Open Heart International, now, it doesn't just imply surgery. There's an emotional connotation to that too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name is not necessarily an anatomy reference, but more of a feeling, the open heart of people that are giving.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys, and I found this out myself, I couldn't believe it, my anaesthetist goes overseas quite regularly to perform this humanitarian work. How often do you go?
We run about 13 or 14 trips a year.
Wow.
It's expanded over time as more needs have been found that we can respond to. But, yeah, there's people going everywhere at all sorts of times of the year.
Yeah. If you've got any questions for Michael, by the way, he doesn't mind taking a call or two. So if you've got any thoughts, 13 13 32. And it started, this program, with the initiative of a nurse from the San, didn't it, who was concerned. Did she come back from Tonga?
Yeah, so one of our nurses, Mr. Russell Lee, was the co-founder of Open Heart International, and Russell went to Tonga and saw people dying of rheumatic heart disease, and a condition that if those people were here in Australia, they would have received surgery and been treated, but they were dying as a result in Tonga, and felt really compelled to do something about that.
Yeah, Pacific nation that close to us, Tonga. And they can't get the same sort of care that we get here.
Yeah, I'm constantly challenged by the haves and the have-nots, and we're very, very lucky here in Australia.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, mate, we bleat and complain a bit, don't we? But we are very lucky here.
Yeah, I've seen hospitals where the waiting time in emergency is about 48 hours sometimes. So our health system is very good.
So we expect in third world countries the conditions to be pretty ordinary, but in a place like Tonga, how basic are the conditions?
Look, it varies. Tonga, the health system is, in terms of infrastructure, the hospital is quite good.
Okay.
Very, very clean and very good conditions. I guess a country that small really struggles with specialist medical care. And if you can imagine all of the different specialists that are in major hospitals, including the San, all around Australia, they simply don't exist in a small country. So they're so reliant on sending patients overseas or visiting teams like Open Heart International coming into the country.
So that whole process of, you know, having a problem, going to the GP, being referred to a specialist, you end up at the San and get your problem fixed. Do we take that for granted?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that comes with the territory of a well-balanced system. There's expectation that comes with that. And for people living in developing countries, it's not quite that simple. And there's many, many services that just simply don't exist in those countries. And so they face the reality of either having to face costs of traveling to Australia, which most, or another developed country, which most of them can't, or hope and pray that there's going to be a medical team that visits. And so Open Heart International does simply that. We go and provide some of those services that just don't exist.
And do you, in fact, perform open heart surgery?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Okay. So we started with open heart surgery and developed into quite a few different specialties. Cardiac surgery is one of the major areas that we work in.
So a team comprises of how many people when you send them?
Our biggest team is around 65 people.
Wow.
If you can imagine every type of person that you might come into contact with in a hospital setting through your pre-operation care, operation and aftercare, we've got some sort of representative like that on our team. We're working 24 hours a day around the clock, and we can do probably 40, 50 heart operations in a 10-day period.
So that's the people. How much gear do you take with you?
It varies again, but 5 tons is usually somewhere around what we need to pack.
What? 5 tons? Goodness me, wow. Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Yeah, there's so much, I guess, in a developing country where resources are so limited, we need to be self-reliant. And a lot of the really specialist medical gear, they don't have either. Yeah. So we've got our own equipment that we transport and travel with us, and then down to the Band-Aids and the gloves and the bandages and whatever else needs to go in, we pack and transport, and that arrives just before our teams come. And then we start unpacking, and we can usually be operating in about 12 hours of arriving.
Yeah, our listeners may not be aware, but the SAN's actually not for profit. So they support you in these endeavours, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. So Open Heart International is very much part of the SAN and the SAN landscape. And I guess that comes from the ethos of caring for the community, and that goes a lot wider than just the geographics.
Oh, sure.
It costs us about $1.5 million a year to run Open Heart International, and the SAN supports that very generously, but we need to fundraise somewhere around $1.2 million a year, and so we're very reliant on the general public, like many other charities.
Yeah, and it's as I know, burn surgery, heart surgery, eye surgery, all of these things done by our wonderful doctors here for people who just simply can't afford it, or the infrastructure is not available where they live.
Yeah, that's correct, and I think our Australians are built on this need to help and this desire that's in our psyche to help our mates in need.
Yeah.
And so I see that regularly with the professionals, medical professionals that volunteer with Open Heart International.
Yeah.
Our volunteers come from all over Australia, so it's not exclusive to SAN staff.
Mm.
And we're always on the lookout for volunteers.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's a really great group of people that continue to volunteer and come back year after year after year.
Mm.
But we're always on the lookout for people that might want to share in that. And
I know you've got some very generous benefactors that you couldn't do without them, could you? No,
we definitely...
They are extraordinary. Probably all of them want to remain anonymous most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And we're very reliant on donations from the public, as I said before, and there are some very generous people. All of our volunteers make contributions as well, so they donate their time and their expertise, and then take out some money of their wallet as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before I tell you the website to do that, tell me about a little Nishant, the Nepalese toddler, who was the 5,000th patient, and he was 6 months of age and fell in a fire and badly burned his leg.
Probably my favourite story at the moment.
Yeah.
In April, we celebrated being able to provide surgery to our 5,000th patient since inception.
Mm.
And Nishant was a little boy in Nepal. He'd fallen in a fire in Nepal.
Oh, gee.
And fire is used for heating, cooking, the whole
everything.
Life.
Yeah, revolves around
circles fire. And so the poor little boy fell in the fire. His mum walked for a couple of days to find the nearest clinic, and just the care that was really not available meant that his wounds contracted, and that just completely limits his movement, and he couldn't walk. And our team operated on him and fixed those contractures, and really exciting was that he was able to walk for the first time a couple of days later. And there's a really cool little video on our website of him walking for the first time. Really special.
That must be just so gratifying.
It is. Yeah. And I think for our volunteers, it's really special to be part of that.
Mm.
And the camaraderie that comes with being a volunteer and sharing in those emotions and those stories of people in such desperate need, it's really, really special.
Yeah, well, these videos, like Nishant's and Rod, the website, which is all the W's, a pretty simple website, ohi.org.au, ohi.org.au, and you can see the videos there. You can donate there. And you can volunteer there.
That's right.
So it's all on the website. So ohi.org.au. It's tremendous work, and I wish I was proficient in something so I could go and help somebody. But that must give you such a great feeling.
It does. It's very, very special.
Yeah. Good on you, Michael. Thank you very much for coming in, Michael Weir. It is 5:15.